My name is Adam Koop. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church, and we are smack dab in the middle of a teaching series in the book of John. Last week, we took a break. The week before that, we got, what, snowed out? Or Craig taught. The week before that, we got snowed out. So we are back on track now, and we're in John 12. We're going to finish up John 12. And what you need to understand about John 12 is it closes Jesus' public ministry. Which means after Jesus is done talking to these people in Jerusalem, after he's done just pleading with them, he goes in to this time before they crucify him, before they nail him to the cross and destroy him. He goes into this time where he pulls back and he just focuses on the people that want to hear from him most, which is his disciples. So we're going to finish this chapter 12 out, and then you're going to see a shift in Jesus' ministry where he's just addressing his close body of people. In chapter 12, verses 27, I'm going to start in 27. I actually started prepping my teaching for this week, and I swore that I was teaching 37 to the end of the chapter. So I'm studying, I got all this commentary read, I'm feeling really good about myself, and then we have staff meeting, and they're like, yeah, you got 27 through 50, right? What? No, 37. No, you have 27 through 50. Awesome. So I had to go back and do more reading. But it's going to be great. Best sermon I've ever taught, all right? That's a lie. That's a joke. So here we go. In John chapter 12, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles to give you out on the table. If you have a phone, download a Bible. YouVersion's awesome. Bible Gateway's awesome. You can have every version of the Bible imaginable, even in Chinese and all sorts of cool stuff for all you people that are fluent in Chinese. All right? Deal? If you're not reading, you're starving yourself to death. Understand that, okay? Here we go. John chapter 12, verses 27 says this. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No. "It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven, and this is a group of people standing around him. The Greeks are standing around him. Ready? A voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it, said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the Prince of Peace of this world, the Prince of Peace, now the Prince of this world will be driven out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This is, you've heard this before earlier in chapter 12, where he's talking about drawing everybody to himself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die, the death on the cross that we know that Jesus died. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" This is the same people that he's been addressing this whole time, that he's been talking to, that he's been answering the same question over and over and over. Then Jesus said to them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Verse 37 changes gears a little bit. It says this, "Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, 'Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' For this reason, they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them.' Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out. Jesus is at his wit's end, I think. Jesus cries out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge, for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words, the very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." So you see this story of Jesus addressing these people and these people addressing Jesus and these people still not understanding Jesus at all. "Jesus, who are you?" He tells them plainly. They don't listen. "Well, doesn't it say something about the Messiah is never going to die, never leave?" So they have this knowledge. They have this head knowledge, this knowledge of their own writings and their own prophets that have spoken these things about Jesus, about the coming Messiah, yet they choose not to ascribe those things to Jesus. And you see Jesus continually trying, "Hey, look, I'm the light. Don't walk in darkness anymore. I am the Messiah. I am the one who is here." And you see people's constant refusal. You see where this is going? This breaks down into three chunks. This breaks down into Jesus trying everything he can within his power. They know that this man, Jesus, is special. They know that this man has power to raise the dead. They know that this man has power to give sight to the blind. They know that this man has power to heal crippled legs, to walk for the first time. They know that this man has power to feed 5,000 people with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. They've seen all these incredible things. They continue to ask him the same question, Jesus, who are you? And he continually tells them the same thing over and over and over. And here you see a frustrated Jesus in these scriptures, in these passages. And what's interesting is it talks about this, you know, God hardened their hearts. He's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. And what that is a quote of is one of their own prophets, Isaiah. And that's in Isaiah 53, and he's talking about, "I've seen this vision. I've seen this vision of Jesus." And he's recounting what he's seeing is these people are just hard to this message. But a lot of what these people were expecting out of this Messiah was this king to come down and take like a hostile takeover of the Roman Empire. He was going to come and the Jews were going to reign supreme. And that's what these people wanted. These people wanted this earthly king, not this man that was born in a barn. Not the restaurant. That's a great place, though. Not this man who was born in a barn to this poor carpenter and his wife. Not this man who had really no formal training, but had this incredible wisdom that even the rabbis of their time, these religious leaders of the time, couldn't explain and people couldn't understand it either. Not this man who had no home to call his own, but walked around with these disciples and taught them things. Not this man who would take their own Jewish laws and break the Sabbath. Not this man who would go head to head with their own religious leaders, and not the Roman Empire. You see, these people were expecting something completely different, and that's what's so scandalous about Jesus. Jesus comes not as expected. Jesus saves as not as expected. Jesus is an unexpected Messiah. And so you watch these people who want something so badly that they're blinded, their hearts are hardened, their eyes are blind, because that's not what they want. They want this hostile takeover. They want this rise to power and the Jews to reign supreme. And Jesus continually points to himself and continually points to his Father and says, look, this isn't it. This isn't it. I'm it. My Father's it. What you're hearing me speak, you're hearing from the Father. What I'm saying to you is directly from God. And my words, what I speak, I'm not here to judge you, but my words that I speak are. And he addresses two populations of people. He addresses these people who are believing in him but not believing in him because they're scared of their own religious leaders. I hope that I have never scared any of you outside of when you first meet me. But he's addressing two different kinds of people. He's addressing these people who are scared to say yes to Jesus and admit and believe in him because they love the praise of men and women more than they love the praise of God. And then in the other camp, you just have people who are so blinded and so hardened to the message of Christ because he doesn't match what they want that they say no. And so as we read this stuff, we can't just gloss over it. We can't just not address it. We have to answer these questions this morning. Which one are you? Are you one that says, yeah, I believe in Jesus? And then your life looks absolutely nothing like it because it's scary to change? Because if I change, I might lose all my friends. If I change, I might lose the life that I now know as life. And this Jesus thing is going to really wreck a lot of stuff for me. Or are you in the other camp where this is just too unbelievable? That your heart is hardened to Jesus. And we have to wrestle with this because Jesus says, my word is the judge. Everything that you've heard from me up until this point is going to judge you. Whether you live by it or whether you do not live by it, will judge you. Nobody likes to talk about that about God, right? My Jesus gives me hugs. My Jesus would never set up a system that requires something of me to follow him in the way in which he said. My Jesus lets me play by my own rules and not his. I like that Jesus. But we have to do something with this. We have to answer this question. And as you see Jesus continually pleading with these people, please look. I'm right in front of you. The things I say are true. The things I say are from God. If you're believing in me, you're believing in God. The God that you say you follow, the God that you say you love, the God that you say you're devoted to, the God that you say you're sacrificing for, the God that you say you're taking Sabbath for, the God that you're doing all of these things for, That's me. And we have to do something with this information. We have to do something with this question. We have to do something with the things that Jesus has said if we want to be right with God. It's not good enough to just think about God. That's not the it. To have intellectual knowledge of God and do nothing with it, what does that do? I don't think you heard me. To have an intellectual knowledge of God and do nothing with it, what does that do? I don't think this side of the room heard me, nor this side, nor this side. You got to do something with it. You either have to accept it or you have to reject it, and that's what Jesus is saying is, look, I'm here, guys. You've seen what I've done. You've seen the love I have for these people. You've seen how I do the miraculous. You've seen how I heal. You see how I raise from the dead. You see how I do all of these things. And all of these things that I've done, I've pointed to the Father and said, it's because He loves you. And so we have choices to make. And I know that this choice isn't going to just happen for you, maybe even today. A lot of you will hear my words and walk out and be thankful that you can just go buy the new Radiohead album. I am. I love you, though, a lot. I know that. Or you're going to be thankful to just get out of here and go celebrate Mother's Day because that guy was just babbling on about very uncomfortable stuff like God's judgment. Or some of you have just tuned it out completely because you're so blinded and so hardened that it just does not hit you anymore. Or it never did. But I prayed for a softening for you. I prayed for blinders to be taken away from you. I pray that you understand this Jesus that I know and love. I pray that every single one of you will accept this message that Jesus has brought forth, that Jesus continues to direct you to. I pray that it's more than just lip service. I pray that it's more than just intellectual up here. I pray that it gets deep rooted in your soul and your life transforms into the life of Jesus. These are my prayers for you. And I can't make this decision for you. What's beautiful is during the break, when you guys were all shaking hands and inviting people to lunch, what's your name again? Help me out. Deborah? Deborah comes up after some talks with Josh, and she said, hey, I've been talking with Josh. Cool. I want to be baptized. When can I do that? And that's taking this intellectual, that's taking this stuff that you're hearing, this stuff that you know about Jesus, and that's making a commitment and saying, Jesus is the it. And baptism is just a decision of a decision already made. I mean, that's just an outward expression of a decision already made. And next week, we're going to baptize Deborah. I need to talk to you about that. But she comes up, and I would just, that's awesome. That's beautiful. That's the transformation of the gospel. That's taking it from here, putting it into here, and living it out then. So we have to make this decision. And I'm going to pray for you the whole time. Whether you never come back here this morning, I don't know your name, but I'm praying for you. Anybody that Whitewater has a touch with at some point has been prayed for. That you will become a part of this community that persistently moves the world two steps closer to Jesus. That's what it's about. So what are you going to choose today? What are you going to choose tomorrow? What are you going to choose for the rest of your life? God, we love you. And you put across things that we have to answer and we have to give an account for, and we have to choose. And God, these things are uncomfortable sometimes because there's sometimes that we don't always have all the answers. And it's scary because, well, what if we sign on and we don't have all the answers and then all of a sudden something comes along that we don't like? God, calm those fears. God, again, I pray for the blind and I pray for the hard-hearted, God, that you soften these hearts, that you remove these blinders, that they can see you for who you truly are, not for who we want you to be, God, but for who you truly are. God, may we move from the intellectual, may we move from this heady process, and may we put these things so deeply in our hearts that it just transforms our lives and transforms the lives of everybody around us. God, you cannot make this choice for us. I cannot make this choice for us. Individually, we have to make this choice. To either follow and walk in the light as you've said and to know you and to know God, or to be judged by the word that you've put forth. God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for his ministry. Thank you for what he shows us. Thank you for the people who have written these stories down, God, that we're reading 2,000 plus years later, that have seen you work firsthand. God, thank you for the life that Jesus lived and for the life that we can live through him. God, speak to us this morning. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.